Psalm 118, 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." That's a good thing to do on Thanksgiving Day, isn't it? When we started, I told the story, it's 26 years ago, told the story of the founding fathers of the and mothers of the United States. They had the very first Thanksgiving Day service, right? It's a North American thing, Thanksgiving, right? But they had it in the States in Plymouth. They met with the natives around there, and they all had a big feast. It took 3 days to have. The natives brought venison and corn, dried corn that they actually put on the fire and popped. It's the first time they'd had ever seen popcorn. Yeah, it was Thanksgiving Day, 1621. 400 years ago, almost, they had popcorn. That's something to be thankful for, I think. My wife is grateful for that. She is a popcorn lover. So 1621, they had this, the first Thanksgiving Day. Now, we celebrated in October, because it's a good thing to do. We're a nation that was set up on Judeo-Christian principles and history, as was the United States. We celebrated in October, which is when it actually was. You look on Wikipedia, that'll tell you it was in October. The United States celebrates it late in November. Everything's frozen down there in November, where they would have been celebrating it. Nobody was running around popping corn outside. We're the right ones. We're small, but we're mighty as a nation. Thank you, Lord. Thanksgiving is something that God has made available to us all the way through the Bible. There was a thanks offering. Now, most of the offerings, most of the sacrifices are for specific times of the year. You know, there's thanks for the planting and thanks for the reaping, and there's thanks, you know, for sin being dealt with and all of that kind of stuff. You know, they have sacrifices throughout the year that they would come together and celebrate as a community. But a thanks offering was to be a spontaneous offering. A thanks offering had no specific date. It was just whenever something had happened in your life that you needed to express before the community. And so you were allowed to bring a thanks offering. And it was also called a peace offering. Thanks offering and a peace offering. And I think the two of them go together really well. You know, the Prince of Peace, the God of Peace. We're thanking Him for what we have. It's just an amazing thing. It is so good. We're told to be thankful throughout both Testaments, but the one that catches me the most is the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul, at the time he wrote what I'm going to tell you in a minute, he was in a jail cell. Now, a jail cell in those days was not like the jail cells that we have now. They're bad enough as it is, our jail cells. It's you know, the clanking of doors and armed guards and blah blah blah. It's not pleasant, and the people inside often don't like you and want to hurt you. But the jail cell that Paul would have been in was, you know, probably dug out of a cave or something. The floor was rock, and that was also your bed. You had physical chains on, so he would have been in chains which chafe you and cut you and don't allow you to move. You don't get a pillow. You lie on dank and dark and awful floor. You know, often it was a place where there was, you know, the water seeping and dripping in and very unpleasant. The food still isn't good, I think. but it was worse than. And Paul is in that place when he writes something absolutely wonderful. In Ephesians 5, 19 and 20, he says, "Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." He's in that jail cell and in that kind of a place, and he says, he has the audacity or the stupidity, depends how you look at it, to say, give God thanks for everything. Paul would have been saying, thank you that I get to be in prison here. As he gets to interact with people that he would normally not interact with. He was a Roman citizen, a man of wealth. He was brought up in the best of schools. And yet there he was, and he's saying, thank God for everything. Now that's hard when you think about it. I thank God for my situation. What is your situation? Are you going through health issues? Are you without a home? Are you in financial difficulty? Do you have relationship issues? How can Paul, in all sincerity, say to us, give thanks for everything? Doesn't make logical sense unless you know the God that he was saying be thankful to. That's the difference. Always giving thanks for everything, no matter the circumstances. Not just once a year, Thanksgiving Day, but every day of your life. There's something happening that you can give thanks for. Thanksgiving, or the giving of thanks to God for all of his blessings, should be one of the most distinctive marks of us as believers. We must not allow the spirit of ingratitude to harden our hearts or chill our relationship with God and with others. Nothing, and you'll have seen this, nothing turns a heart to bitterness and of hard-heartedness than ingratitude. People that are not thankful in their lives end up with this kind of a bitter attitude about life and about everything that's happened. They have a way of blaming everybody else for issues in their lives, blaming systems and governments and the people around them, the family that they were given. And that kind of bitterness that is really, really hard to be in the same room as comes out of an ingrateful heart, a heart that just cannot thank God in any way. And so we need to be careful about that. Jesus was wonderful, and he had a heart for lepers. Lepers were, you know, leprosy, you know, you all probably know it, but just a disease that is takes things from you. And the law said, the Old Testament law said that a leper must reside outside the camp. So you had to leave the city or leave the village or whatever it was and live out in whatever you could live in, caves or whatever, and people would stay away from you. They were not allowed to touch you. They were not allowed to, by law, they were not allowed to do that because leprosy is very contagious. But they were kept outside. And really shunned and rejected. And it would have been a very difficult life. It's hard enough to go through a sickness. One that is taking you down without rejection. But Jesus came across 10 of them one day. One day, 10 of them. And they begged him for healing. What leper would not want to be healed, you know? I mean, they live with this stuff. And so 10 of them come to him and ask him for healing. And so what's Jesus to do? He heals them. 10 of them. But here's human society, our culture. One of them, only one, came back to say thank you. 9 of them went on in their ingratitude, in their bitterness, in their whatever it was, their selfishness, and went away. One of them alone came back. 10% of that population came back to thank Jesus. For that, he was made whole. Now, just think of what you already healed me of leprosy. Being made whole, that must be something pretty spectacular. But it was out of a gratitude, a heart of gratitude, that one was made whole. He got more than he'd imagined as his recompense for simply coming back and acknowledging, hey, bud, thanks, that was really good. Thanks that my finger doesn't fall off when I wave now. Thanks that my nose doesn't just kind of deteriorate and fall off my face. Thank you for that. What's it take to go back and say thanks? Not much. But he did it. The other ones didn't. Today, ingratitude and thanklessness are way, way too common. Children forget to thank their parents for all that they do. Common courtesy is scorned, and we take for granted ways that others have helped us. Above all, we fail to thank God for his blessings. You know that ingratitude is a sin? Yeah. As surely as lying and stealing or immorality or any other sin condemned by the Bible, one of the Bible's indictments against the rebellious humanity is that, this is from Romans 1:21, although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. An ungrateful heart is a heart that is cold toward God and indifferent toward his mercy. It's a heart that's forgotten how dependent we are on God for everything. Psalm 147:7 says, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Paul writes, be thankful in Colossians 3:15, just a commandment. A spirit of thanksgiving is always a mark of a joyous heart. Why should we be thankful? We should be thankful because God has blessed us. God has blessed us. God has blessed us with material things. That's a fact. You know, in our humility, we wouldn't, well, God, you know, you really haven't blessed us a lot. You know, there are richer people than me. You've got clothing on. Where did that come from? You have a place with a roof over it. Most of us do. There are some here that don't. You've eaten in the last week. Many in the world have not. You have money in your pocket. You have cars, beautiful homes with furniture, many of you. many of us. God has blessed us materially. How easy is it to just say, oh God, yeah, thank you? Or do you mostly take it for granted? Because that's where our hearts go most of the time. Because we want more. We haven't got sufficient. Doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, sufficiency isn't something that we understand. We're always looking for something more. It's the nature of mankind. But to be grateful for what we currently have is a discipline. It's something that you have to work on. I remember a wonderful sermon that Pastor Ron with the Tom Tom this morning. It's his fault. It's a drum. Oh, yes, sir. He preached one time and he said that he had taken a decision at some point to just thank God all the time. If something happens, just say, the first thing out of your mouth is, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. That's wonderful. That's wonderful, because what that does is develops a thankful heart. And where does a thankful heart take you? It takes you into his presence, right? They had to enter the courts with thanksgiving. And they enter the courts with praise. That's part of the going into the courts of the temple, going into the courts of the tabernacle in the wilderness. It was all, you had to be thankful. So you thanking God in those places takes you to the place of his presence. You know, you may not see it, but it allows you to live from the place that you are actually in. You know, you're seated with him in heavenly places. By thanking him, you begin to live from those places more than you live from these places where things aren't working out my way. This just isn't going good. You know, everybody hates me. Everybody's against me. I'm going to go out into the garden and eat worms. You know, that kind of mentality is so easy to build upon us. Just sweep over us because things aren't going my way and I'm just not happy about it. That kind of an attitude of ingratitude removes you from God's presence. He never will leave you nor forsake you. I'm not teaching that at all, but it takes your heart away from him. Thankfulness, developing, disciplining yourself to be thankful before him takes you into that place where here you are. I can actually see things differently because I'm with you. I actually have, well, we'll talk about it in a minute, but I have authority that I didn't know I had, that you don't feel like you can move into when you're in that place of ingratitude, just everything's bad, you know? There's a victim mentality that keeps you from moving to the place that you actually should live from. Victimhood is not a healthy place. It's not a place for a child of God. I remember years ago going with a friend of mine who was a Christian man in the insurance business, and we went to a man's house, and this man's house, Colin Carter, you know, he was the insurance guy. He took me to this guy's place, and this guy had an opulent home. We weren't in his house more than 2 minutes before he said, I may well have a lot, but my life is, and he used an expletive that I can't use in church. He said, my life is falling apart. I have nothing of value in my life. And my heart broke for him. All of the money, all of the possessions that he had built up was doing him absolutely no good because of where he had convinced himself his heart actually was. About a week later, we did a homeless count here in in Cloverdale, and I in checking out the camps and stuff, I at that time I knew where they were, and I knew most of the people in them. And I visited this one, and this guy was new in town, and so I went and sat with him just outside a little sort of a tent that he had built. And I was asking him, well, how are things going? You know, I'm going around, and I was able to give him some chocolate and get his first name so I could identify him on the homeless count. And he said, you know, this place is amazing. I have never felt so wealthy in my life. He said, I can find stuff all over the place. And I come from a place where it just wasn't there. He said, people have incredible amounts of things here. And they just throw away stuff that I can use and make something out of. This place is like heaven on earth. And this guy's living in squalor. Something that most of us would be very upset about, even just for one night. In my heart, I felt that this man was much richer than the man with all of the possessions because of where he was and his thankfulness. He wasn't yet a Christian. I actually was in the room when he gave his life to the Lord about 2 weeks later. I didn't do it, but somebody that was associated with our church did. And he was ready because he was thankful. Was just the difference in people. Oh, yeah. Thank God for the people in your life. 1 Corinthians 1:4 says, I always thank God for you. That's Paul talking to people. The people, many of them that had hurt him. But he was thankful to God for the people in his life. Because there are people in your life. You are not alone. Just look around. There is a community here. If you can't see it any other way. If you feel lonely out on the street. There are people here that will talk to you. Have a coffee with you. Enjoy you. Be thankful and watch more come back into your life. You give away friendship and more friendship will return. One of the principles of the kingdom is give and it shall be given. Give and it shall be given. If you give away, that leaves a hole in your life that God loves filling up. And he always gives after the kind, you know. So you give friendship, watch friendship come back in your life. If you're lonely, find someone that you can give friendship to. You won't be lonely anymore. Funny how that works. It's just so neat. So thank God for the people in your life. Thank God in the midst of trials and persecution. One of my least favorite verses in the whole Bible, it's actually become one of my favorites, but it's James 1, verses 2 and 3. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Tui. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Count it all joy. How can you do that? How can you do that when it looks like someone or something is trying to kill you or kill the thing that you're involved with, take out your family, trying to murder you or take away your money or take away your things? How can you be thankful in a situation like that? Yet God is good all the time. We say that, it just kind of spills out of our mouth, but do we believe it? Do we really believe it? Even when we're facing trials of many kinds, persecutions, abandonment, rejection, treated like a leper. Can you thank God at times like that? You can, because the bigness and the goodness of God who is behind it. He's behind all that is there, and he has good things for you. There are theologians that I disagree with vehemently that say that the scripture that says God works all things together for good for those that loved him and called according to his purpose. All things for good. I believe that's true. They say it's not. They come because they haven't been able to see it in their own lives. They come up with a theology that works in their lives, and it's kind of a bitter, ungrateful place to start from, and they're very convincing in it. And yet, with a simple heart, if I read that scripture, I believe it. He's able to work all things together for good, no matter how ugly and terrible it seems. Our lives as a family and as a church have been decimated this last 17 months. And yet I believe that God is in the midst of doing something absolutely spectacular here. And I will see it in the land of the living. Because he is good. Not because I am good, not because I deserve it, not because I've been a good boy and stood in this thing the whole time. No, it's because of his goodness. He just can't help but be good. It's part of his nature. He just exudes good. I mean, if he were to sweat, he would sweat good. You know, like it's just who he is. And so good things are going to come out of it, even no matter where you are, no matter what, a simple faith that God works all things together for good. Now, you can justify it out of your theology if you choose. I'm not going to make a fuss about it, but it is in my theology. He works all things together for good. Those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God especially for his thanksgiving or for his salvation in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not die, but would have eternal life. Salvation. Salvation. How many of you thanked him for that today? Brad did, Alan did, Dora did. Like that's the biggest gift you ever received. It has the best future of anything you've gotten. You get to live for eternity in his presence, the good presence of a good God. That is something that we don't want to be ungrateful about. We don't want to treat it like it's the couch or the chair, you know, you just take it for granted. You sit on the thing and it's going to hold me up. I live my life and God's going to take care of me because I'm saved, you know. We can be thankful for salvation. Thankful that Jesus took what I deserved. Maybe you're way better than I am. But I deserved death on a cross in a horrible way. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? If I was Judge Kavanaugh, I wouldn't have made it to the... Just thinking of things that you did when you were 18. Like he's being charged with doing things when he was 18. Man, I wouldn't be able to be a judge for things I did last week. You know, like in my thoughts anyway. But he saved me. He saved me. Amen. Not because I deserved to be saved. Not because I had done anything to be saved, but like I was at enmity with God. I was not allowed to go into his presence. I was unclean in every way. And he made a way because of what he did for me that I could easily, anytime, go into the presence of Almighty God, the one that created all of the universe, and call him Dad. Call him Father, Abba. Ask for anything. Feel safe. Feel loved and comforted and protected. I have an open access anytime to go into his presence. And I take it for granted, I tell you. So it's building a heart of gratitude to discipline yourself just a little bit. Thank you, Jesus, that you saved me. Thank you, Jesus, that, you know, I don't know whether you believe there's an actual hell or not. I do. But I don't have to go there. I don't have to live eternity in hell listening to Hitler tell me his stories. You know? I got the feeling he's there already. He is so good all the time. And he picked you to be with him forever. So good. Thank God for his continued presence and power in your life. Oh, Jesus. It is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. That's from Philippians 2:13. And Matthew 28:18 says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, that's Jesus. Surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. All power and authority has been given to Jesus, and he gave it to us. To be able to live from that heavenly place that being thankful takes us into, live with him, with authority and power, to see things change, to not have to live as victims, but to live as victors. The Bible calls us more than conquerors. Do you all know what my definition of more than a conqueror is? I know some of you have heard this before. I'll tell you really quickly. I got to speed it up here a bit because we got to do communion yet. A heavyweight boxer trains all his life to be a champion, to be a conqueror. He works hard, blood, sweat, and tears. He gets beat up regularly, and he goes for the champion fight, one where the belt is on the line and millions of dollars are at stake. And so he goes into the ring, and he gets pummeled. And somehow he rises above it, puts everything that he has learned, everything that he has trained for, everything into it, and beats his opponent, knocks his opponent out. He's a conqueror. So wonderful. They get him to the center of the ring, and they give him his belt, and they give him his check, and he's a conqueror. He gets dressed, and he gets in his car, and he drives home. And he gets to the door, he opens the door, and his wife greets him there, and he gives her the check and says, you're more than a conqueror. Jesus is the conqueror. We have the benefits. We're more than conquerors.
Right.
We get the benefits.
Praise God. Yes.
Without the fight.
Yes.
Presence and power with the most powerful person in the entire universe looking out for us. So, let us remember Ephesians 5:20 that says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can easily thank him for everything when we know who he is.
Right.
It's so good. It's so good. Amanda, are you around, or can somebody come and play something while we prepare the elements for the communion?